Here's what's coming up today on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman.
You wonder, you know, with the breakdown of the laws in our nation and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about peaceful demonstrations. I'm talking about people who are breaking stuff and busting up stuff and hurting folks and shooting people. And I think about that. I think, you know, it's a really bad thing. And sometimes I kind of get angry and God reminds me that the righteousness of God is not accomplished through the wrath of man. So you need to check your attitude, Al. And then he said, listen closely. Listen, take another listen. Listen carefully. Listen. What do you hear? Just a bunch of people screaming. No, listen. What you hear is a desperate cry of people who need forgiveness.
Dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place. You are my dwelling place, dwelling place, dwelling place.
It's time once again to welcome you to The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman from Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. Today, we'll jump right back into our verse-by-verse journey through Acts. And what a journey it is! Paul and his cohorts are spreading the message of salvation throughout the land, and the reaction they get varies quite a bit. There were those who were simply astounded to learn that they could have salvation from sin through simple faith in Jesus. And there were those who thought Paul and his friends were out of their minds. Here's Pastor Al with today's study in Acts 13.
Paul reminds them here that you have been entrusted with the word, the promise of God, the promise of salvation. In other words, God chose Israel, not because Israel was better than anybody else, but he chose them to be the nation through which he would bring forth the promise of a savior. Mankind needed a savior from the very time in the Garden of Eden when they first committed sin. We needed a savior. We need someone to come and to atone for our sins. So God had promised that, and he said he would deliver that Savior through the nation of Israel. And so he calls them to account. And then in verse 27, however, you know, they rejected the Lord. Verse 27 says they rejected the Lord. They rejected their own Messiah. Although they'd heard the words of the prophets and the prophecies about the Messiah every Sabbath day, every week, Sabbath day being on Saturday. And so it is with a lot of people who call themselves Christians. They come to church, they've heard sermon after sermon after sermon, and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Just as the rulers, the religious rulers in Jerusalem and the Jews heard about, you know, the coming Messiah and all that, and reading from the law of Moses and all that, you know, week after week on the Sabbath, and yet never, and when Jesus came on the scene, yet they rejected him. Wow. Because they were not listening to the word. Some people, you know, you hear a sermon, but are you really listening? Like a lot of Christians, they come and they've heard plenty of sermons, but they're not really listening. And on that day, Jesus said, they will say to me, Lord, Lord, and Jesus will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Oh, you knew about Jesus. You came and you heard sermons about Jesus. You knew of Jesus, but he never knew you because you were never born again. And so we can hear, but are we really listening? Jesus said, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. They were coming every Sabbath and could not hear. And their hearts had grown wicked, is what happened. It is the wicked heart which renounces the word it has heard. And the Bible says in Psalm 10, verse 13, why do the wicked renounce God? Here's why. He has said in his heart, you, O God, will not require an account. The Bible says that we will all give an account before God. You mark my words on it. We will all give an accounting to God. But the wicked heart says, God's not going to require an account from me. And Paul is reminding them here, oh, yes, he will. You are responsible. You've been entrusted with the word of God. And I'm here to tell you, I'm accountable for every word I preach, and you're accountable for every word you hear. And that you read on your own or whatever. We are accountable to the Lord. In verses 27, 28, and 29, again, they had rejected Christ. They'd even crucified the Lord. But they're only working to fulfill the preordained will of God. And that just blows my mind. I mean, it puts things in perspective when I see people, you know, in the streets and all the violence and the vitriol and the hatred and all this, and people just screaming and yelling. And I'm thinking, you know, you're just working according to God's will. It's not God's will for you to be violent and all that, but your hatred, all it's doing is you're just falling in line with his will. People hated Jesus. They spat in his face. They plucked his beard out. They slapped him. They did all these things and called him names and mocked him and all that on his way to Calvary. They crucified him on the cross and all that. We got him now. But you can't keep a good man down, can you? Amen. They thought they had him. And all they were doing all the time, they're working according to God's will. When you're shaking your fist at God, when you're mad at God, when you're screaming at God, you know, you're just angry with God, and you're cussing God out, all that, guess what? God is going to have the last word. And everything that mankind is doing right now is heading us directly toward the book of Revelation. Just as he said it would. And we can pontificate, and we can curse, and we can pass bills, and we can do all these things. But God is going to have the last word. And so here they were, rejecting Jesus and all of that. The Bible says that he would be rejected. It was prophesied he would be rejected. Didn't somebody go back and look at Isaiah chapter 53 and go, well, hold on. The Bible says we would reject him. The Bible says there in Isaiah 53 verse 3, he would be despised and rejected by his own people. And the Bible tells us that he would be crucified. Where does it say that? It tells us in detail, Psalm 22. Go back and read it. That he would be nailed. That his clothing would be gambled over. That his legs would not be broken. Not a bone in his body was broken. When he was hanging on the cross, people would die from asphyxiation. They would suffocate to death. Because they couldn't push, you know, if they couldn't push themselves up. But as long as they could push themselves up with their feet, they'd catch a breath, slump back down. Well, they went to the two thieves. What did they do to them? Remember, they took out this huge billy club. Broke their legs so they could no longer push up again, so they suffocate and die. They came to Jesus to break his legs. He was already dead, and they were shocked. But it was all in line to fulfill the word of God in Psalm 22. Not a bone of his body would be broken. I wonder who did that. God did it. And nobody was reading their Bible at that time. They didn't have a Bible, but they weren't reading the prophets to see, or the book of Psalms to see, that this indeed, as the Roman centurion said, is the Son of God. Amen. It all worked according to his will. So now after his crucifixion, what does it have to do with responsibility? Well, since the cross declares that we are all without excuse. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, Paul says there in verses 30 and 31, says truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. Times of ignorance. Times before Jesus came on the scene, the times God would overlook some of the ignorance of Israel and their kings and all of that. Yet he would judge them, but he would overlook a lot of their ignorance. It says God overlooked a lot of their ignorance in the past, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world. That day is coming. It's an appointment that everybody's going to keep. Even people who find themselves late to appointments all the time. Amen. Always late, right? No, you keep this appointment. He will judge the world in righteousness. How? By the man. The man. Hallelujah. That's Jesus, whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. How do I know God's going to judge the world? Because Jesus lives. Every other religious leader's made claims is still in the grave. Jesus is risen. The Bible says, how do we know this is going to happen? Because he lives. So we are without excuse. And that's what he's saying to his Jewish audience. Paul is saying to his Jewish audience there in Antioch of Pisidia. So he takes them through this history lesson and all, and takes them through the responsibility path. And so they're listening. And then he finally brings them to what I call the interventional path. And I chose the word interventional because of its definition. And then because there is an intervention, if you will, by God, as we'll see. The interventional path. Interventional, it means, definition is pertaining to the act of intervening, interfering, or interceding with the intent of modifying the outcome. Woo, I love that. Thank you, Jesus. He modified my outcome. Amen. He modified our outcome by sending the Son of God. So he says here in verse 30, God says, but God. Amen. Underline that in your Bible. Every time you see that, but God. You rejected him. You were unfaithful, yet God fulfilled his purpose anyway. But God raised him from the dead. He was seen for many days by those who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, his disciples, who are his witnesses to the people. Amen. But God. Amen. Oh, my goodness. There's a but God in every believer's life. Amen. Where God intervened, a time when God interrupted our course. We were heading straight to hell itself, and God interrupted your plans. Amen. You thought you were going in the right path. There's a way that seems right unto man, but it leads to destruction, the Bible says. You thought you were going on the right path, but it was leading you straight to hell. And thank God that he interrupted your trip. Amen. Interrupted your path. Amen. That he might change your outcome from an eternal hell to an eternal heaven. Everlasting life through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm glad God changed my outcome. Are you?
Amen, Pastor Al. Let me ask you something, listening friend. Would you ever consider trading your life in Christ for a life in the world, knowing what the outcome would be? Pastor Al will be back with the second half of today's message in just a moment.
As we roll into 2021, it's good for you to review your finances. But what about your spiritual investments? Pastor Al Pittman's book about Revelation puts a bright light on a wise plan.
There's a lot of people doing works in the name of the Lord, but there's to glorify themselves and not God. And our works will be tried by fire to see if they're of gold and precious metals or if they're of wood, hay, and stubble. God knows the real motivation of your heart.
Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, is a book that will take you through the amazing final words of the Bible. Remember, you can still adjust how your life ends.
And he invites everyone to his wedding feast. The question is that mankind would have to answer, every one of us here today, have we accepted his invitation?
Get your copy of Revelation, Earth's Final Chapter, by Al Pittman, where you buy books, or online at cwccs.org.
Oh, this is what we've been waiting for, this glorious day, return of Jesus Christ to the earth.
Now here's Pastor Al once again with the conclusion of our message in Acts 13, titled Declaration of Dependence.
Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were still without strength, when we were still sinners in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." I'm glad he did. Thank you, Lord. Now here we see Paul's declaration of dependence leading to liberation in Christ. A declaration of dependence not based on some nice positive words, but a declaration of dependence based upon the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. Verse 32, Bible says, "And we declare to you," Paul says, "glad tidings." That means good news, the gospel. "That promise," the promise that you guys heard about, which was made to our fathers, to the fathers, to the Jewish fathers, God has fulfilled this for us, their children, in that he has raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Psalm 2, verse 7, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." Psalm 55, verse 3 is where that's recorded. Therefore, he also says in another psalm that you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. In other words, he would not stay in the grave. And then he says in verse 36, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep, was buried in with his fathers, and saw corruption." In other words, David is not your salvation, but Jesus is. Because David's dead and buried, he didn't rise again, but Jesus did. Verse 37, "But he whom God raised up saw no corruption." He's making this point. He's connected with them historically. He showed them their responsibility. And now he's saying this is how God intervened. And the proof of that intervention is that Jesus is risen from the dead. Hallelujah. Amen. This is the point that Paul the Apostle is making. Christ is risen from the dead. In verse 36, verse 38, he says, "Therefore, Let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by him everyone who believed is justified. For from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. What the law was too weak to do, Paul says in Romans chapter 8, God did, amen, by sending his son, amen. The law, you keeping the law, trying to be a good boy, a little, you know, good little girl, you couldn't do it on your own because you were flawed, you were a sinner, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What the law could not do, that it was too weak to deliver you, God did, amen, by sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us in our weakness, amen, that we might be raised with him to justification. We're justified in Christ. We're forgiven. Our sins are forgiven. We've been justified in him. What does it mean to be justified? Well, you know, the old definition, just as if I had never sinned. To stand in the presence of God, Romans 8, 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. To stand before God innocent as a newborn babe. That's justification. All your sins washed away because you've been forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ by putting your faith in him. You know, I hear the people on this, in, you know, screaming and protesting and all of that. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, if you're like me, you kind of get angry and you wonder, you know, with the breakdown of the laws in our nation and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not talking about peaceful demonstrations. I'm talking about people who are breaking stuff and busting up stuff and hurting folks and shooting people, you know. And I think about that. I think, you know, it's a really bad thing. And sometimes I kind of get angry, and God reminds me that the righteousness of God is not accomplished through the wrath of man. Amen. So you need to check your attitude, Al. And then he said, listen closely. Listen. Take another listen. Listen carefully. Listen. What do you hear? Just a bunch of people screaming. No, listen. What you hear is a desperate cry of people who need forgiveness. What you hear is a desperate cry of people who want justification, who need to be justified in the presence of God. And they're so angry and they're so disturbed, they don't know where to turn, so they have to blame somebody. If it's not the police, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. What, we got to blame somebody, you know, so I can feel justified. But my friend, when you hear people like that, you see it's going on in our nation, it is a desperate cry in our nation for forgiveness. I don't know if you remember the story or the true story, of course, now some months ago, whatever, down in Texas. And this white police officer, female, was going home at night, and she went to the wrong apartment, saw an African-American man in there, thought he was in there in her apartment, freaked out, not thinking, stupid, and shoots the guy, kills him. Well, they had the trial, right? Did you see the trial? Remember at the trial that the man's brother was there, and he's a born-again believer? He begged the judge, can I come, go down from the stand? Can I please go down and just give her a hug? The murderer of his brother. He comes down from the stand, the judge gives him permission, and they walk up to each other and they embrace. And she breaks down, sobbing uncontrollably. You know what she needed? She needed forgiveness. She needed forgiveness. We got a prison full of people in Canyon City and elsewhere in Colorado need forgiveness. People are looking for forgiveness, and they're trying to find it. They're trying to justify their own existence, and sometimes they'll go back to a life of crime or whatever it is, but here's what people really are crying for. They want forgiveness, and then the judge comes down from the bench, too. Did you catch that part? The judge came down from the bench at that trial and gave her a hug, too, because the judge was a born-again Christian, and then gave the woman a Bible, amen, and the media just crucified her for doing that. But I'm here to tell you, you know, I don't know if you've seen that little video. I'm going a little bit long here. That's all right. But what else is new, right? And so there's a little video of the two little toddlers running toward each other, one white and one black, running toward each other. And they get to you and they hug each other. Unless you become as a child, you will not be able to receive or see the kingdom of God. The problem is people need to come back to just a childlike faith and say, Father, I need forgiveness. We need an embrace from God. That's what people are crying for. Don't, you know, listen carefully. Don't get mad. Don't get angry. Don't get self-righteous. But listen to the heart cry of our nation. People desperately need forgiveness. and they don't know where to find it. Where do they take their sins? Where do they find their justification, their innocence? It's only through faith in Christ. God help us. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, speaking of Jesus, who was delivered up because of our offenses, our sins, and was raised because of our justification. Amen. He lives that we might be justified through faith in him. America needs God's divine intervention today, my friend. May God have mercy upon our nation. These words caught my attention from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, verse 17, says, speaking of the nation of Israel, says, they refused to obey, and they were not mindful of your wonders, O God, that you did among them, but they hardened their necks. And in their rebellion, they appointed a leader to return to their bondage. Amen. You know, I know we all have, we need to vote in November and all that good stuff. But don't put your trust in a leader, because all they can do is return you to bondage. Put your trust in God. But you are God, ready to pardon, gracious and merciful. Slow to anger. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for that one. Abundant in kindness, and did not forsake them. May God not forsake our nation, and may God not forsake you, and he will not. And as a believer, he said, nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. In conclusion, recognition. And Paul takes him down these three paths, but recognition of our history, recognition of our responsibility, and recognition of God's divine intervention leads us all to the cross of Christ. There we find a true declaration of liberation through total dependence upon Christ, what he has done for us. It's not what we can do for God, it's what God has already done for us. Isaiah 44, verse 22 says, the Lord God says, I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins. Return to me, for I have redeemed you.
This has been The Dwelling Place, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Al Pittman, senior pastor at Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If you enjoy Pastor Al's teaching ministry, we have some good news for you. You can listen, watch, or download an archive of past messages with a simple mouse click at cwccs.org. Just click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And you can find One Place on the internet and with a search on your Alexa or Google Play-enabled device. Have you considered becoming a financial supporter of The Dwelling Place? We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. You can support this program with a one-time gift or become a monthly supporter. If you'd like to join our support team, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find a helpful video, directions, and the current schedule we have for limited access live services at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time for another study with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.